Hello and welcome back to the Lehigh Valley with Love podcast. Today, we're joined by playwright Maura Haney and director Lee Sunday Evans. Maura is an artist, film producer, and entrepreneur who has developed and produced documentaries and independent feature films, including What We Find on the Road, Cracking the Code, and Jim Allison Breakthrough. She also co-founded Citizen 56, which focuses on the arts, environment, and democracy in America, as well as a global nonprofit, World Connect, and The Poisoner is her first play. And Lee is the artistic director of Waterwell and a two-time Obie Award-winning director whose work has been presented at Arena Stage, BAM, the Public Theater, Lincoln Center, and theaters across the country. I want to welcome both of you to the program. Thank you so much for taking some time today.
Great to be with you.
So great to meet you.
Yes, so today we're talking about The Poisoner, which is a neo-noir thriller inspired by the Flint water crisis. It follows a journalist who returns to his Midwestern hometown and uncovers the deception, abuse of power, and negligence behind a contaminated public water system. After premiering at La Mama in New York, its seven-city national tour begins right here in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania at Touchstone Theater from September 17th through the 19th. And super fast, before we get started, thank you to our partners who allow all these episodes to happen. Wind Creek Event Center, Michael Bernadin with Remax Real Estate, WDIY 88.1 FM, Banco Beverage Company, and our friends at Quote Ahead. All that out of the way, Maura and Lee, thank you so much again for joining us and coming on the program. The first thing I wanted to start out with was the Flint water crisis. And I know that some of us are more familiar than others, but if you could kind of set the stage, and either one of you can take this, set the stage to the crisis and why that is something that you wanted to tackle here in The Poisoner.
Maybe I'll start, sure. And then Lee can add in her perspective, but think of the Flint water crisis as starting way before the actual crisis happened. So the first changes that were made in Flint were economic changes. Flint was down and out. We had a new Republican governor come into Michigan, and he wanted to sort of say, let's have these cities pull their bootstraps up. So what happened was, and I think frankly, pretty well-intentioned at the beginning, the city was struggling. It had lost, Flint going all the way back, was the first producer of cars actually before Detroit. It was called Vehicle City. It has a long history of democratic institutions, including the first union movement, which is actually covered in the play. We can talk about that later. But basically, if you set the stage for the Flint water crisis, you have to go back to when the governor instituted what's called emergency manager law. And emergency manager law means that the state, run by the executive function, whether that's a Democrat or Republican, takes over a city, takes over all of the controls, economics, city council, the mayor, all then reports to someone called the emergency manager, which reports to the governor. So the decision that caused the Flint water crisis was inherently connected to that economic construct, which, by the way, the rules for emergency manager go back decades. Like, they're kind of these archaic, weird, we did some research on this for the play, but it's an odd old rule that even allows a governor to do this. So the governor says, I'm taking over, you guys can't handle yourselves, I'm taking over the city. And then what happened was, in that construct, tons of changes were made. Jobs were cut, city council was no longer paid. There were all kinds of changes. One of those changes, there was no animal control. Houses were, they were down and out, were like new entities that were made to take over those homes. So one of the big changes, though, was moving the water source from the Detroit water pipeline, which had served Flint since 1967, I think. Until 2010 or right around when the change started to be discussed. So the Detroit Water Authority had supplied water, and the emergency manager decided with the governor's support to change the water source from that pipeline, which was clean from the lake, from basically Lake Huron, to the Flint River, which had been polluted for decades by the car companies. It was you know, known to be a dirty river. It was, mm-hmm. but it was free water, and they paid $10 million a year to Detroit Water Authority. And they were like, hey, we can save $10 million. Maybe it'll cost us $1 million a year to run the plant, but net for us, that's $9 million. Right. So that was a savings that was made with obviously the, you know, the results that we saw. I don't know, Lee, do you want to add to that?
No, I think that's a really good summary.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, that's a great summary for myself, who I felt, you know, I kind of had a grasp on this, but it really is a great, you know, starting point to this conversation and to learn more about this. Because it's interesting to me, like there's so many ways that you could take this story and tell it and share it. And I kind of want to go to Lee. We're going to come back to how more how you kind of got into deciding to make this a play. But Lee, what would attract you to this? A lot of your work in theater deals with public policy and civic life. You know, what about this story and the way that maybe Maura wrote it appeal to you?
Well, I think that these kinds of questions that happen in the kind of grappling with the, you know, what is the government's role? What is their relationship to the people, to individuals mm-hmm. who live in that place? What is the kind of the social contract that we make about, you know, how the government is supposed to uphold safety and health and well-being for everyone? I think when you can find a story that's getting at a really emotional layer of that story while also giving audiences more understanding of the structure of power, I think it can be a really, really, really powerful combination, because we, things like the Flint water crisis are extremely emotional. They have a huge impact on people's individual lives, their mm-hmm. kids, their families, their ability to work, their ability to provide.
Right.
But to be able to connect this play, I think, does a really unique job of connecting these really powerful experiences and stories of individuals who are living through this disorienting, really terrifying crisis with questions about, you know, how does our democracy uphold the ability for people to have a voice and people to have a role to play? And that's the function of a democratically elected city council. That's the function mm-hmm. of a democratically elected mayor. And so in these constructs where, you know, those democratic kind of power structures are shifted, you know, it becomes a really complicated situation for regular people to figure out how to fight back. And I think we all have to look at those questions in order to understand how we all have agency as, you know, people in our own communities.
Yeah, even like explaining how you got to this point, like as Maura was doing, is so you're like, what are we, you know, it sounds great, right? And until you kind of look at it much deeper, what, just to save some money. I want to talk about how you decided, Maura, that the best way to tell this story was as a play, because I think there are a lot of ways, a documentary, a written account. Why did you feel that a neo-noir thriller was the best way for you to tell the story?
Well, first, I really like narrative storytelling. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been in the documentary world. My husband is a documentary filmmaker. He's made 20 films with his partners. So I've seen the power that a documentary can have as well. They both have different power. I think that the thing that I was excited about to explore in the theater world was the interaction with the audience, the kind of profound connection, almost the physical connection that you have in a theater. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The story had been covered by Nova as a doc and I wasn't really, you know, in a way I wasn't really interested in Flint, you know, so for example, in the play, we don't call it Flint, it's called Mac City. It's an imaginary city. So I was interested in this as a metaphor for things that are happening all across America, frankly, probably all across the world, but certainly all across mm-hmm. America. And so I think theater gives you a chance to touch people in a different way.
Absolutely.
And I was lucky enough to convince Lee to do the play. She was obviously a superstar, so I got lucky. I don't know how it happened.
How did it happen? I would imagine that directing something like this has, I mean, directing in general is difficult and writing this stuff is difficult, but this is a little bit more difficult because you're approaching this, you're building the tension of a neo-noir thriller, but you're keeping the people and the communities behind these water crises at the center, right? That you're telling the story. How do you kind of do that? Or I guess, what is your approach to a play like this?
Yeah, you know, I think all plays are complex and have many layers. And I love the challenge of directing theater. And I love the challenge of plays that are experimenting with structure and experimenting with how to tell a really good story in a way that's slightly unfamiliar because the way of telling it is so specific to this particular piece. And I think, you know, I really was moved by, you know, the Flint water crisis obviously had a really big impact on me just as a regular person. I traveled to Flint in 2019. I was there doing, another production, and I was really moved by this one drinking fountain where it was still duct taped over. And I thought, wow, all these years later, you know, the water is technically safe. It's been certified, you know, but the depth of distrust to have something as fundamental as your water, as like the water that you need to sustain your life, you know, to have that compromised. I just think, you know, there's actually a question in there that's like kind of the scale of Greek drama, which is like what happens when, you know, the governing body kind of gets disconnected from the polis and betrays the people in that kind of way. So to me, you know, it was a really compelling project and just an unusual piece kind of in some of the things that like kind of come across my desk. So I'm really glad we got to work on it together.
Can I add to that really quick?
Yes, please.
Because Lee, you know, she's very humble in a lot of ways. When I first gave her the play, the main character, there's four kind of primary actors in the play. All of them play more than one part, but think of it as four kind of central characters. And she encouraged me to think differently about who the main character should be. And so the main character originally was the guy who runs the water plant, who's based on a real person. We can talk about more of that later, but, and she was like, well, why don't you think about it from the perspective of a journalist? Because in a way, to your question on the neo-noir thriller, this is sort of like a journalist that's going into the city, you know, in some ways, like Lee's saying, sort of like a Greek tragedy or a Greek drama, where you're going in, like the main character doesn't really want to go. He's forced to go back to this hometown where he's been gone for decades. And he goes back and he begins to slowly uncover, you know, sort of stumbling initially, but then uncovers this huge kind of bureaucratic machinery of institutional failure. You know, this, it wasn't just about contaminated water. It was all the decisions that preceded it, you know, all the narrative. So he basically comes back to his hometown as a journalist. So it's a journalism story, and then uncovers what happens.
And you had alluded to this a little bit. We're talking about Flint, but you had said it's a kind of you don't mention Flint in the play, but this talks about continuing concerns in places like Jackson, Newark, communities dealing with lead pipes, PFAAs and stuff like that. I mean, is that I don't want to say hope, but I mean that more people are asking questions like this as they're watching a play like this. I mean,
for sure. Yeah. And I think Flint was a bellwether for a ton of other problems across American cities, which you just mentioned a few: aging infrastructure, rust belt cities, now new battles about who controls resources, AI data centers, you know, all of these are connected to the same questions across many, many cities, which are who bears the costs, who gets the benefits, and who gets to decide. So that is connected to democracy. And that's actually the reason Lee suggested, I think in a really cool way, when we finished the play in New York 2 years ago, which by the way, was the 10-year anniversary of the Flint water crisis. It was April 2024, of the beginning of the Flint water crisis. Wow. When she suggested that we do another production, she said, well, why don't we do it, you know, going up, you know, heading up into the midterms in 2026? because now we're all these questions that you know, the aging infrastructure questions and industrial development of these cities, these especially Midwestern cities. So to the, you know, Lehigh Valley included, and Bethlehem being at, you know, sort of centerpiece of that. But we wanted to basically take it through seven industrial cities during the 7 weeks leading up to the midterms. So that we're not just presenting a play, but we're creating this forum for civic conversation about all of these, you know, issues. And that was, you know, and that was Lee's idea. And I thought that was just, it turned out to be more relevant, I think, than we expected because of the new issues, particularly around AI, but also infrastructure.
I mean, I know you guys are playing everything, but it feels a little punk rock to me. It right? And like, we're taking the show on the road and we're talking to people where they are, and we're giving it to them in a, you know, an interesting medium rather than just a documentary. Not that a documentary isn't interesting. You know what I'm saying, though. Like, it feels that way. Like, are you like, what's kind of the excitement of taking the show on the road? And can you talk a little bit about your cast, which features Aaron Morton, Brett Diggs, Haskell King, and Maude Mitchell? So yeah, talk a little bit about the excitement. You just said you're going on the road. What's that all about?
I'll jump in and just share that, you know, I think that there's this really powerful role that theater can play that is kind of a public square, and where we do have the ability to have these conversations about our shared civic life. And we have those conversations in the theater in a slightly different way than you'd have at like a public hearing for a city council meeting. We have them through really deep emotional stories where people, often characters, are able to express parts of their private life that we don't always have access to about each other, about people whose we may not have personal relationships with, or we may not have the ability, we just may not have proximity to those people. So theater can do this amazing thing or create this public square for reckoning with these questions and really center humanity, and really center the humanity and complexity of these extraordinary characters. And so I think, to me, to be able to do that in new places and in all these like extraordinary cities that don't necessarily kind of have the most immediate connection to some of the like the really thrilling work that I see happen in all kinds of kind of like more kind of major cities across the country in terms of theater and arts and culture. Sure. I'm so thrilled to be in dialogue with like all these extraordinary venues and artists who are working in these towns and being able to connect with audiences who are have their whole own cultural life that we get to learn from, and we get to see how storytelling works in these other parts of the country. And I think, you know, I grew up in rural Colorado, Dust Bowl country, farming family, you know, and I feel this passion about, you know, connecting people across all these different life experiences. And I think that's extremely important that we do in person, that we do it in the theater, in person, with our whole selves, breathing the same air. I think the power of that is pretty undeniable.
Listen, I'm a big social media guy. That's what we do, right? But there's something to be said for having, where do you have these conversations anymore? You can't really have them at city council meetings because we're all yelling at each other. You can't have them on social media because we're all yelling at each other. So it's like, I really truthfully feel like being able to experience something like this, and you, like, I know that there's, we'll have, you know, conversations as people are walking out of the theater and such. But that's really where this is going to happen, and where we're going to be able to have something. So that's really exciting. We didn't talk about your cast. Let's talk about them quick and make sure that, yeah.
Yeah. I'll just throw out that this is an extraordinary cast of actors. And we have some real just, you know, theater kind of heroes in this company. And Aaron Morton plays Ron, and he's just an extraordinary actor with just like, you know, years of experience living on stage. And I think he brings a particularly kind of raw, gritty portrait of this extraordinary person. Brett Diggs is part of the original company. He's an extraordinary actor, kind of a young up and comer who's like going to be a future star. Maude Mitchell is like a star of like some old downtown, kind of very famous experimental theater work. Really extraordinary. And Haskell King is kind of known for being like kind of in the milieu of all these like brilliant new plays that are being developed kind of all around New York City. witty and really distinctive, kind of extraordinary actor.
And Maura, you mentioned, and I just realized this as you mentioned it, how all the cities, where you're starting in Bethlehem, September 17th through 19th, you can get all this information on uncommonproductions.com. And we're going to leave the links in the show notes. But it's Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, September 17th through 19th. And then Pittsburgh, Kenosha, Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin, De Pere, Wisconsin, Kalamazoo, Michigan, Detroit, Michigan. I see you're going to all these places where really these conversations are being had in those communities every day. Do you, Maura, like, I don't want to put you on the spot. Like, is this something that you think you're going to continue to do? This is such a unique and interesting way to approach these issues. You know, what's next for you, maybe?
Well, I think educational institutions are really important to me and to Citizen 56, which is funding a portion of this. Mm-hmm. If you asked me my dream scenario, it would be that this is in 1,500 schools, you know, and I think that this is a story, maybe with taking out a few of the F-bombs here and there, that could be in, you know, every high school in America. And the cast mm-hmm. and crew, it's a very manageable, you know, it's a manageable play. And I think it can allow each of these, you know, people in these different cities to tell it in their own way and connect it to the issues that are in their own locales. And as an example, at every site that we go to, then you just rattled through mm-hmm. them all. We're going to have talkbacks at every site, and we're going to have leaders from the community. And I actually can't remember who it is in Bethlehem, but I can find out. But in all of these cities, we're going to have, you know, local leaders and also local community activists. And from all sides, we're inviting, you know, the young Republicans and conservative sure. points of view, you know, other points of view, activists and others and journalists. So, for example, in Detroit, we'll have the journalist that broke the story on the Flint water crisis will be there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so we're trying to invite, you know, a discussion that's relevant for each of these places.
We didn't, you touched on it. I didn't yet, but as I'm sure you are very aware, the Lehigh Valley is just like a data center mania right now in terms of the meetings that are being shut down because so many people are coming out. So it's similar. Like we're having these conversations every day that is about our water, maybe not the same way that Flint had them, but I can see how this is something that would open up more conversations to the things that are going on here. We got to protect where we are before it's too late, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think there are going to be $900 billion spent this year on data centers. It's all capital expenditure. Next year is supposed to be, I think, $1.5 trillion is what's been allocated now from all the major AI companies mm-hmm. and their funders. And that is a lot of physical space, and it is a lot of water. So it is, and in a lot of places, like Lee's, you know, grew up in Colorado, which she mentioned, I think father ran the water authority there. And obviously
Lake Mead has like no water anymore. Yeah.
Right. So water is becoming an increasingly scarce resource, and having the community involved, you know, because mm-hmm. these data centers aren't really creating that many jobs. You know, they are
there's like 12 per
just a few center. People that need to run them. On the other hand, AI has some great promise. So who's giving up what to mm-hmm. make AI work? And
And we'll be having those conversations, and we're lucky to be having conversations thanks to, you know, people and organizations like you who are coming to Bethlehem and coming to Touchstone Theater on September 17th through the 19th. You want to get your tickets, you can go to uncommonproductions.com to see. There's a lot of information. Your press kit's amazing. It's really, I was going through it the last couple of days. I'm looking forward to this. I'm sure other people are. All the information's in the show notes. And I want to thank Maura and Lee for coming on the show and talking about this. And we're looking forward to seeing it.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to meet you. Can't wait to be in Bethlehem.
Yeah, totally. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you, guys. See ya.
Bye-bye.